time for the College World Series.
It's exciting baseball action on Cool Radio 96, brought to you by Western States Tire Sales, the bottlers of 7-Up, Ozark Fried Chicken, and Cavalier Homes. And now from Omaha, Nebraska, here is Bob Davies.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bob Davies from Rosenblatt Stadium in Omaha, Nebraska, for tonight's game between the Golden Hurricanes of the University of Tulsa, undefeated, 3 wins and no losses in this College World Series competition against our own Arizona State University Sun Devils, who have 1-2 and lost 1. We are on the air right now, but game time will not be for 20 minutes, and the reason being is that in the preceding game, the Violets of New York City have defeated the Longhorns of Texas by the score of 3-2, thus eliminating the team picked on the second day to take this tournament. First of all, it was the Salukis of Southern Illinois, tabbed by the Baseball College magazine to be the number one team in the nation. They went home without winning a game here in the College World Series, and as soon as the Longhorns of Texas blanked Arizona State in the beginning ball game, the very first one on Friday the 13th, by the score of 4-0. All the scribes said, of course, then Texas is the team to beat. Well, Texas got taken care of by Tulsa in a 4-2 outing earlier in the week. And ironically, we have heard in passing that the Tulsa Hurricanes and the Longhorns shared the same plane coming up from Texas. And during the plane trip, while the Longhorns were not too complimentary about the Hurricanes' record, saying, of course, that the competition that they had scaled was not quite that of the caliber the Longhorns had played. Well, the young man by the name of Steve Rogers pitched 7 2/3 inning of hitless ball against Texas in that ball game. Had a little trouble in the last inning and a half. He was relieved by Cliff Butcher, who will face the Arizona State Sun Devils tonight. And before the game was over, the Hurricanes had beat the Texans by the score of 4-2. And the Violets did not shrink, as the phrase is being battered around Oklahoma. I can't think of anything more trite, but that's exactly what happened. They are a steady ball club. They are not enthusiastic. They were down 2-0 in this game this afternoon as Texas came on with 2 runs in the very top half of the first inning. They came back in, I think, the fifth inning to score 2 to tie it up. Went ahead in the 7th, 3-2, and held on. But the game ended in a very disputed play. The leadoff batter, Tommy Harmon, the catcher for the Longhorns, sliced one in the between the right and center fielders, almost to the fence. A good play by the center fielder, held it to a double, however. The next man popped up to the second baseman. They got 2 away, and eventually the batter slapped one down the right field line. The first baseman for the Violets gloved the ball right on the line. As a matter of fact, he was in foul territory. The ball hit in fair territory and came out to the foul territory. He gloved it, fell down, got up, raced to the bag. He reached for the bag, sprawled out in diving fashion, and we are understanding now that the ruling that what he did was to touch the bag. But as soon as he touched the bag, the Longhorn runner coming down the first baseline, for all he was worth, kicked, accidentally of course, on his stride to the bag, kicked the ball out of the hands of the first baseman and went scooting down the right field line towards right field. And of course Harmon, who was running with 2 down, scored, claiming of course then it was a tying run. But the ruling is this: if the ball in the glove hand of the New York first baseman touched the bag, then the ball game is over because he is out. Whether he retains possession on a collision afterwards is of no consequence, and the Violets have taken this early evening contest in the College World Series over Texas 3-2, have advanced to what potentially could be the finals tomorrow, undefeated, and the winner of these two teams, of course, will play anyway, Texas being totally eliminated. Tulsa on the field now taking their warm-up tosses. Arizona State will be in the first base dugout and are the visiting team tonight, wearing their gray jerseys with the maroon numerals. But it was very exciting. As a matter of fact, everybody from the first inning on thought Texas had it in the bag. They were ahead 2-0. The Violets, who just seemingly don't get excited. When they got the 2 runs to tie it up, the infield did not throw the ball faster. They did not talk a lot more, or at least the animation was not there. Maybe the verbiage was behind the pitcher, who was a reliever, Steve Molina, who had pitched only a couple of ball games, and most of the rest of his action for the Violets this year coming in relief. Pitched a brilliant game as the little left-hander went all the way and gets credit for the victory. But as the game went on, The Violets just seemingly did not get overexcited, kept their cool all the way, and beat the Texans by the score of 3-2. Well, at the end of the game, no, needless to say, there was a rhubarb. The entire Texas dugout streamed out onto the field. There were very, very mad gestures by all concerned. Hats thrown down, helmets thrown away, bats broken, walls slugged, dirt kicked, but all to no avail. The officials of the College World Series were called to the center of the field. They discussed the situation. The umpires were there. But as indicated from the top, that was the story. The call had been made. It was an umpire's decision, and the game was over. Texas Longhorns had lost their second game and thus were eliminated from the 23rd annual College World Series. We'll be back in a moment with more of the pregame palaver, and we have a lot of time to do so because the Devils, I don't believe, have yet warmed up. We have plenty of time since the rules are that exactly 30 minutes will take place between the end of one game and the start of the other. And as of this moment, we do not have the official start time. But we're going to pause now for this commercial message. Delta, the home team tonight against the Sun Devils, has just this moment finished their warm-up on the infield. The Devils now taking the field. They will, as I said a moment ago, be the visiting team. Perhaps at this juncture would be again a sympathetic choice of many of the fans. However, Tulsa is a Cinderella ball club as well, having come with mostly freshmen and sophomores, their very first trip to the College World Series, and of course they've done very well. They've had some help, but their pitching has held up, and they seem to get the right hits at the right time, and they've won three in a row without a loss. The Devils will hope, of course, to change that whole situation. We will have 20 minutes, we understand, or a little less than that now, as game time will not be until approximately 8:20, and we have with us a gentleman responsible for the Collegiate Baseball magazine, a gentleman who is very well aware of college baseball, and a good friend of baseball in Arizona, Abe Shannon. Abe, nice to have you with us.
Bob, it's a pleasure to be here with you in Omaha, and to greet all our great friends in Arizona.
It's an amazing thing. Now, I just very quickly and very briefly went over what happened to end the Texas game. It was certainly a disappointing ending. You would like, of course, to see it gone through clean and easy. We said that what we understood to be the case was that he had tagged the bag, and that made the end of the game.
Well, it's just a little more than that. The bag was tagged. The out was made. The ball slithered away. But unfortunately, the official had gone off towards the edge of the field and did not see the ball go out into right field, and none of the other three officials saw it. And the tournament committee, Bob, is left with no choice but to stand on that out decision.
Would it be fair to assume, and I'm asking now because I'm honestly unaware, for example, in football, when you cross the goal line, it is a touchdown. Now, if you fumble the ball, it's still a touchdown. It work out the same way?
No, Bob. Any time a ball is dropped at, by a fielder, of course, it's an error on a play. So this didn't rule here, and you're caught simply on a situation, a judgment call that has to stand because the umpire did not see the final part of the play.
Well, it's indeed unfortunate, not only for the University of Texas in this case, who, of course, was eliminated by that very play, but indeed for the College World Series, where, for the most part, you have the cream of the crop of college baseball teams, and you hope, of course, that the outcome of every game has no questions about it whatsoever.
Well, this is going to happen when you're playing in tournament play. This is the 23rd year of the College World Series, and I can tell you, Bob, that I've never seen a play like that happen, and you want to remember there were four umpires out there, and none of them saw it. So you couldn't have even a rule over by one of the other umpires. It was one of those strange freak occurrences that ends in a judgment call. No one is happy about it, but it's one of those things that happens in sports, and you have to stand with it.
Abe, you've been watching the College World Series for many years, and your predictions as to who will win it or come in first and second, your average is absolutely fantastic, but I'm going to call you on this, and you've called yourself because I heard you talking about it the other day. Every once in a while you have to. You picked the Salukis number one, and I thought primarily because of what you considered to be the easier of the two brackets.
Well, there were several things in the favor of the Salukis of Southern Illinois, and that was that not only were they in the easier bracket of the tournament, which, of course, proved to be untrue, as we can see tonight, but, Bob, here was a team that finished second in the 1968 College World Series and came back with almost all of its ball clubs. So if you were not to pick them first, then it would be unfair to the other teams in the field. So the fact that the Salukis have gone home is a salute to the other teams in the field. And don't forget, Bob, we're still riding in this tournament with number two Arizona State, and nothing better than please me than to have Arizona State take that over.
Well, we know it, and the Devils, of course, are going with Kenny Hansen tonight, hopefully to give both Laren McGraw, this will be his fourth day of rest, hope to go with Hansen, who, when right, can be a dandy. And, of course, Gura has had a considerable rest since working last Friday and then some innings in relief. So hopefully maybe number two will be in good shape for both tonight, tomorrow, and Friday.
Well, if Arizona State can stay up with its pitching, not have to go too deep tonight to win this game, Arizona State will win this tournament, I feel certain.
You've seen a lot of World Series. What can you, off the top of your head, and a difficult question, would be the most outstanding College World Series competition you've seen in the many years?
Well, as long as we have this time here while waiting the second game, let me tell you about a few of the more humorous incidents, Bob. We had one that has to go down as the oddest one in all of college baseball history here. That was when Arizona was playing New Hampshire. And it was a very tight ball game, 0-0 going into the late innings. Arizona has Harry Messick at the plate. A close pitch, Harry grabs his arm, falls to the floor, and hollers, "I am hit," and the umpire awards him first base. He moves to second, moves to third, and scores on a squeeze bunt by Glenn Feston. And after the game is over, Harry Messick says to the reporters, "You know what? I wasn't hit." Well, Harry Messick earned the title that year of Harry the Horse Thief Messick. Arizona won that ball game 1-0. That has to go down as one of the oddest moments in this series, and of course goes with this odd play that closed out the Texas appearance at the College World Series tonight, Bob.
You have been coming to these things for how many years, eh?
I think this is my 16th year here, Bob.
And Arizona, of course, has been well representing our district for, I think, 11 occasions, and Arizona State now for four, so that between the two of them, our state's been very well sanctioned here at College World Series Competition for the past 15 years.
Let me tell you something, Bob. The state of Arizona can be very proud of its collegiate baseball at all three of its schools and Grand Canyon as well. Don't forget, this year we had three teams in national tournaments. Grand Canyon, we had Mesa Community College, Arizona State University tonight, and I think we have several other teams that could have made the tournament and do very well. We have a proud baseball record in our state.
Abe, stick around. We're going to pause for a moment. We'll come back and talk some more. Pause now for this commercial message. Abe, we, of course, have watched the Sun Devils lose the first game, 2-6 Texas, which was, who were just eliminated a moment ago. In your recollection, how many times has a team lost the very first game in College World Series competition and then come back to win it?
Three times, Bob. It was done once by Texas and twice by the University of Southern California, and it won't surprise me one bit to see it done a fourth time this year by Arizona State.
Well, we certainly hope so, and we know that Bobby has talked to his charges a couple of times about what is apparently their biggest weakness, getting the ball out of the infield and in between the players, and he's had a couple of batting practice sessions, so hopefully he'll be able to unlock the door that's hiding all those base hits.
Well, Bob, this is commonplace in the College World Series, where a team comes up here and will drop its team batting average all the way up to 100, 150 points. And of course, this is exactly what happened to Arizona State. I think they're down just over 100 points in their team batting average. But you tie up. Don't forget, you're playing before huge crowds. You're playing in a strange field, and everything is right on one ball game. So it's commonplace. The big hitters usually have the trouble, and this is what's happening with Paul Ray Powell and a few of the other Arizona State boys. And just about this time in the tournament, this is the stage of the tournament where usually the good hitters come through.
Well, I think, too, Abe, that when you come to such a great tournament as this is, that you automatically end up facing the very best pitchers as well, which may have something to do with it.
Well, you're facing the select pitchers, and also, excusing the call at first base, you're facing umpiring that may be much tougher than you do at home, where the calls are a little tighter around the plate, and this makes a big difference, too.
Would you, and I don't mean to take anything away from him, because I think he pitched a whale of a game. The Devil bats were silenced by a young freshman from Texas by the name of Bert Hooten, and I think at the present time, from his two appearances out here, that despite the fact his team has been sent home, he could get a few votes for most valuable player.
Bert Hooten, Bob, has to be the finest freshman pitcher ever to perform in a College World Series. You know, the freshman eligibility in the NCAA is rather new, and there was great fear that you shouldn't throw the freshman to the varsity team and throw him because he's too young and too fragile. Well, that Bert Hooten out there looked anything like a fragile young freshman. He was a tough upperclassman throwing, and Arizona State could have nothing but praise for that great performance.
Well, I think Bobby Winkle said it, too, that at that time, while Gura did not pitch a bad game, giving up only one true earned run, that Hooten probably could have whipped anybody that night.
Well, I think that's true, and you have to take the fact that Gura was not well physically, and certainly from my standpoint of having seen Gura pitch perhaps four or five games this season, I know that this was not the Larry Gura that defeated the University of Arizona. And I'll tell you this, Bob, in my opinion, if he had been at his peak performance, that game would still be going on as a pitcher's duel.
You know what? I know. I guess maybe that's the way it is. And you, I think, earmarked it when you said that Arizona could be very proud of its baseball. I get the feeling that Arizona, with Rich Hinton, could be just as much a part of this series as some of the teams that are currently in here.
Oh, you're right, Bob. It's been that way every year. In fact, Bob Winkle, who certainly is a very, very solid man when it comes to stating the facts without equivocation, when he won the 1965 World Championship, he plainly, clearly made a statement for the public that, as far as he was concerned, the University of Arizona would have won the tournament if they had been here. And this is just praise for baseball in our state.
Abe, we'll be back in just a moment. We're going to pause now for this commercial message. Now, this is Bob Davies at Rosenblatt Stadium chatting with Abe Channon, and the reason we have a moment to talk about the College World Series is that there has been a delay, not for any rain, not for anything different. It was the length of the Texas-New York University game plus a disputed call at the very final whistle of the game, and of course the rhubarb that came after it with everybody out on the field talking and all kinds of uncertain words. For those of you who just joined us, I will say very quickly before we get back to Abe that Texas lost that ball game by the score of 3-2. It was 3-2, yes. It was one run difference, and that tying run was on second base with two down when the Texas batter slapped one down the right field line. The first baseman gloved the ball in foul territory behind first base, fell, picked himself up, and dove for the first base sack. As we understand it, touched the sack in time, but as he touched the sack, the player kicked the ball. Nobody saw, and the first base umpire then called him out. The other three umpires started off the field. Nobody saw what was happening, and the boo you just heard was as the umpires came to field.
Bob, thank you very much, and good luck to you for a great broadcast. Wonderful to have you at the College World Series, and let's bring our devils in.
I'll do it. Abe Cannon, thank you very much. We were going to talk about what was happening in time in the games, and we can tell you quickly that the games have been averaging about 2 hours and 13 minutes per contest. However, I'm happy to say that the Devils and Bobby Winkle's hustle have had a 1:46 end time in the first game, a 1:49, a 1:57 end time, and the one game in between was 2:19. Let's get to the starting lineup for the home team. For Tulsa, leading off and playing in left field will be Roger Whitaker. Roger Whitaker in left field. Hitting second and playing in center field will be Tom Jenkins. Tom Jenkins playing in center field. Hitting third and playing first base, Les Rogers. We'll pause now. The honor guard from the Marine Corps is walking to the center of the field. In just a moment, we will have our national anthem. continuing on with the Tulsa lineup, we've got Whitaker leading off and playing in left, Jenkins in center, Rogers playing third base and hitting third. Steve Caves is the cleanup hitter, plays first base, hitting fifth and playing in right field, Bob Murphy, hitting sixth and playing at second base, Roger Whitey Adams, hitting seventh and playing shortstop, Phil Honeycutt, hitting eighth and catching, John Klar, K-H-L-A-R, and the pitcher is Cliff Butcher. For the Devils, leading off and playing shortstop, Roger Detter, hitting second and in right field, Ralph Dick, hitting third and playing in left field, John Dolinsek. In cleanup, playing in center field will be P.R. Paul Ray Powell. Hitting fifth and catching will be Billy Joe Cotton. Hitting sixth and playing first base will be Jeff Osborne. Hitting seventh and playing second base will be Lenny Randall. Hitting eighth and playing shortstop will be Rick Valley. And the pitcher for the Sun Devils tonight is young Kenny Hansen. So it'll be Osborne catching and Hansen pitching. The pitcher for the Tulsa Hurricanes is Cliff Butcher, 5'11", 175-pound freshman. He's 9-1 on the season. His ERA before the World Series started was 0.99. It's been up a little bit. However, in the two appearances here in the College World Series, he has not figured in either of the games. He worked 7 innings against UCLA, gave up 4 runs, 2 of which were earned, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. And then he pitched 2/3 against Texas, walking 2 and striking out 1. Roger Detter steps in, and we're ready to work here. The Devils want to stay in this series. Takes inside for ball 1. Detter hitting 306. Leading off has come through with 3 stolen bases. Record here in the College World Series is 5. Here's a pitch. Just misses outside, and it's ball 2. Butcher was not too effective in the 2 preceding College World Series outings. Winds up, right-handed livers. It is across the plate, but it's too high, and it's ball 3. Butcher, shaking his head, thought he had it all the way. Jocko Smitherin coaching down at third base for the Devils. Here's the 0-3. A called strike. 3 balls and 1 strike. No score in the ball game. This is a leadoff batter. Roger Detter takes across the outside corner a fastball. The count is full. So Butcher, after throwing 3 pitches, all of them balls, now it's come back. The count is full. Working very quickly outside. Ball 4. Detter walks. That's the first batter to be walked by Butcher, but as we mentioned a moment ago, in the 7 innings, he walked a pair against UCLA, and he walked 2 in just 2/3 of an inning against Texas. Our information is that his arm is... There's a grounder through the middle into center field by Ralph Dick. Detter on his way to third. Here's a throw coming in third. He is out. Roger Detter tried to go all the way to third on that single up the middle by Ralph Dick. The throw coming from the center fielder Tom Jenkins to the third baseman, Les Rogers, gets him out of there, 8-5, and on the throw, Ralph Dick goes on down to second base. So there's one away, a beautiful throw by the center fielder, Tom Jenkins, a great defensive play, as Roger almost had it beat. John Dolinsek steps in. John hitting 335, has a triple and a double in World Series competition. Here's the pitch, check swing, call strike, inside corner. Butcher's arm is bothered in cold weather, but he has no problem because it's about 75 here and 25% relative humidity. Right-hander ready. Peeks at Ralph Dick at second base. Here comes the one-strike pitch. Swung on, a grounder to the right side. Fielded by the first baseman. Picks it up, throws just in time. He's safe. No. He got to the bag in time, but the first base umpire says that he did not step on it. So Dolinsek is safe. It's going to go as a base hit. Dolinsek gets an infield hit, the second hit given up by Butcher here in the top of the first. So the Devils have 2 men on. Ralph Dick is at third base, John Dolinsek at first base, one away, and Paul Ray Powell, anxious and ready, his father in town. stretch by Butcher. The peak delivers. Check swing outside a ball. Well, Roger Dedder walked to lead off the top of the first. Ralph Dick singled up the middle, but Dedder thrown out attempting to go to third. And Dolinsek singles. Ralph Dick all the way to third base. P.R. Powell, the batter. Throw to first. Dolinsek back in plenty of time. For those who joined us late, the Devils working against the Tulsa Hurricanes here in the top of the first inning. Pitch to P.R. Outside, ball two. And Butcher not giving him anything good at all, keeping it low and unfortunately away for Butcher. Two balls, no strikes. New York University Violets down the Texas Longhorns, 3-2. Pitch to Powell is across the plate, but high ball three. No action in the Tulsa bullpen. Butcher has had only sparing rest here in the series. Pitch, called strike. PR taking all the way. Steve Rogers, the youngster who pitched 7 2/3 innings of hitless ball against Texas, has had only a day's rest, so he cannot come back. Dolinsek with a lead at first. Ralph Dick at third. Pitch to Powell. Check swing, ball four. Walk number two given up by Butcher. Two walks and two hits. The bases are crammed full of Devils, and Billy Joe Cotton, the catcher, stepping in. And we're going to have, I believe, it'll be very difficult to have any change of relief because there has been no one warming up in the Tulsa bullpen. Gene Schell, however, has gone out to the mound to talk to his young freshman hurler, and the confab includes the catcher, Johnny Clark. The confrontation is over. Gene Schell coming back, walking very slowly. Still no action in the bullpen, but Pat Carlton, C-A-R-L-E-T-O-N, has been scheduled to work. All right, Butcher can wind. The little right-hander, ready to face Billy Cotton. Fired. Across the plate, but high ball one. Ralph Dick at third base. John Dolinsek, the runner at second, and P.R. Powell at first. One away for the Devils here in the top of the first inning. Cliff Butcher ready to go. Right-hander delivers. Billy swings and fouls it out of the glove of Johnny Clark. One ball and one strike. These two teams will be in the tournament tomorrow, providing, of course, the Devils win, and that's the way we figure it. And the third team will be New York University. Immediately following this game, and again, we have to say, if the Devils win, there'll be a flip of the coin. One team will draw by. A base hit into right center field. Dick will score easily. Here comes Dolinsek pumping for home. The throw's coming home. He's safe. And on the parlay, Powell coming around third. The ball gets by the catcher. Powell scores, and Billy Joe Cotton slides into third base. Joe Cotton, a little blooping line drive into short right center field. Scored as a single. Ralph Dick comes home from third base. John Dolinsek comes home from first. Paul Ray Powell went to third, and on the throw from the right fielder, which was an error, it got by the catcher, came all the way home. Three runs are home. Cotton went all the way to third on that error, and Jeff Osborne stands in, takes a strike call. Pitch. High pop fly to the right side, out of play, back up in the stands. And the count is no balls and two strikes to Jeff Osborne. Still only one down. Billy Cotton from McCook, Nebraska, showing some hometown fans just exactly how it's done with a clutch single to right center with the bases loaded. Devils 3, Tulsa nothing. Pitch. Osborne takes outside, ball one. I'll tell you, you folks have been sending those telegrams, and believe me, the Devils really appreciate it. Pitch, check, swing, in the dirt, ball two. Count is even to left-handed batting first baseman Jeff Osborne. Butcher checks his sign from Johnny Clark. Right-hander delivers, swung out a little number to the right side. The runner coming in from third base, Billy Joe Cotton, cannot move, comes partway down the line. The first baseman, Steve Caves, picked up the ball, and wisely, Jeff Osborne stopped, but then Caves just proceeded towards home plate and tagged Osborne for out number two. Cotton had to stay at third base, and Lenny Randall is the batter.
Second baseman, Lenny Randall.
Two down, three runs home. Lenny Randall stepping in. Pitch by Butcher. popped up, left side, coming in foul territory. Les Rogers, in back of the coacher's box, has it for out number three. So for the Devils in the first, they pick up three runs on three hits. There was one error and one man left. And the score at the end of one half inning of play, the Sun Devils of Arizona State University, 3, the Golden Hurricanes of Tulsa yet to bat.
Number one, left fielder, Roger Whitaker.
Kenny Hansen, ready to work in his first College World Series game, will face Roger Whitaker, who skies it to straightaway center field. Powell moving over a little bit to his left, under it, has it and slips, but he held onto the ball. So there's out number one. Whitaker hitting 343, had a home run for a little fella. One up and one down, and Tommy Jenkins, the center fielder, left-handed batter, pitched by Hansen, is high and away for ball one. One up and one down. Here's a pitch by Hansen across the plate, but low, ball two. 3-0, Devils lead it. Tulsa batting in the bottom of the first. 17 games, he started 14 and completed 7, 116. Ball three, high, and Billy Cotton really lets Kenny know that he's got to do some concentrating out there as he zings it back to him. Kenny ready now. Here's the three ball pitch. Across the plate, called strike. And there's action in the bullpen for the Sun Devils. It is Larry Gura. Hansen, 3-1. Delivered, swung on, a grounder to the right side. Randall rushing, throw, and Osborne in time on a pretty play. Kenny Hansen thought he had a chance for that ball. Came off the mound to his left side. Could not get it. And when Randall came charging, he had to fall down to get out of the way so that Lenny could make the pretty play that he did. So they're two up and two down. And Les Rogers, who is probably one of the finest hitting, one of the finest hitters in college baseball, hitting 417, steps in, takes outside on a curveball. That's ball one. He's a dandy, good hitter, way deep in the box, slightly close stance. Pitch, it touches him on the shoulder, and Kenny Hansen hits his 16th batsman of the year. He had 15 coming into this ball game, and Rogers hustles down to first base. So they're two down. But Rogers is at first base, and the batter is the cleanup hitter, Steve Caves, the first baseman. Caves, 264 on the season. In 106 at-bats, he has 28 hits, 15 RBIs, one double and one triple, and has stolen four bases. Left-handed batter. Short lead by Rogers, a stretch by Hansen. First pitch to Caves, swung out and missed for a strike. Well, Bobby Winkle said yesterday, of course, that if Hansen had his stuff, nobody would be able to touch him. Here's the next pitch, swung out and missed again by Caves. As a fastball, it gets right by him. And three or four times today in the hotel, we passed Kenny, and each time we'd look at him, and the word we gave him was concentration. He's ahead now, 0-2 with two down. Rogers with a short lead at first base. Here's the pitch. Rogers moving. There's the throw by Billy Joe Cotton, and they got him. Pretty. Roger Detter taking the throw. Rogers is out 2-6 to retire the side for the Hurricanes in the first. No runs. There were no hits, no errors, and nobody left on base. And the score at the end of one complete inning of play, the Sun Devils of Arizona State 3, the Hurricanes of Tulsa nothing. We go to the top of the second inning, and for the Devils, it'll be the bottom of the order. Rick Valley, Ken Hansen, and back up to Roger Detter. Valley, 231, playing third base. The freshman takes a curveball, called strike one. Pretty pitch by Cliff Butcher. Remind you that you're tuned to KOOL Radio, the 960 spot on your radio dial in Phoenix. Pitch, another curveball, and Valley caught looking two times in a row. Same pitch. Watch out for the inside fastball. Butcher ready, working quickly, delivers, flies it to right center. Going over is the right fielder, Bobby Murphy, calling away Tommy Jenkson, and takes it for out number one. One up and one down, Kenny Hansen. The batter. Kenny, not a bad hitting pitcher, 244 on the season. Certainly not afraid to flail.
Pitcher, Ben Hansen.
In 45 at-bats, he has picked up 11 hits. There's a grounder to left side. Shortstop, Phil Honeycutt. And the throw to Caves is in time. Hanson on the first pitch is out number two. Two up and two down. And Roger Detter, who walked in the first and was out trying to go to third, is the batter.
Roger Detter.
Doubles lead of 3-0. Batting here in the top of the second inning. Both these teams will remain in the tournament. Of course, the Devils winning it. Pitch to Detter is a curveball inside. Backs him out of there. It's ball one. Tulsa beat UCLA 6-5. There's a ball outside in 10 innings, and they were lucky. UCLA made six errors in that ball game. Then they beat Texas 4-2. No luck in that one. Steve Rogers pitching 7 2/3. A line shot knocked down by the shortstop, kept in front of him. The throw in the dirt. That is dropped by the first baseman. The Detter will be safe, whether it'll be hit or an error. Beautiful play by the shortstop Honeycutt. It is an error on the throw. The rule being, I would imagine, that if you throw the ball in the dirt, the error then will belong to you. But it was a beautiful play. Honeycutt went far to his left, almost behind second base. Got the ball, knocked it down, picked it up on the dead run and threw. There's a quick throw. Detter back in plenty of time. Roger has, as we said, three stolen bases in this series, and I believe that Butcher knows it. Roger with a good lead at first base. Here's a pitch. Detter moving. Pitches outside. The throw goes way out to center field. Detter's on his way to third. He'll make it standing up. Roger Detter steals base number four in the series, and the record is 5. So the Devils have a runner at third base, and the batter will be Ralph Dick, who singled back in the first inning. ASU lost to Texas in the opener 4-0. Have been battling back ever since. The total cardiac kids of college baseball. Beat UCLA 2-1 in 10 innings. Came on and beat Massachusetts yesterday 4-2. Leading in this ball game 3-0. Pitch to Dick. Swung on. A little number in front of the plate. Butcher will field it. There's a throw just in time. Butcher 1-3. The Devils are retired in the second. No runs, no hits, no errors, and a man left. And the score at the end of an inning and a half, the Sun Devils 3, the Hurricanes nothing.
First baseman, Steve Caves.
Well, Hanson will have to do it all over again. He had a two-strike count on Caves, but they threw out the runner. Here's the first pitch. It's a called strike. Kenny would like to believe that was the third strike. In case we mismatched the mathematics in that last half inning, there's a pitch, a fly ball to straightaway center field. Paul Ray moving a little bit back as the wind carries it to his right and takes it for out number one. Caves is out number one for the Hurricanes in the second. Bob Murphy, the next batter, followed by Roger Adams.
Murphy,
248 on the season, playing in right field. There were two errors in that last inning for the Hurricanes. There's a pitch, a wild one. It gets all the way back to the screen, ball one. There were no runs and no hits, two errors by the Hurricanes, and a man left on base. Murphy, there's a pitch by Hanson. A fastball gets by him. Hurricanes have committed three errors in this game, and that's a total of 9 in the series. So they've committed some first College World Series jitters. There's a let-up curve, hangs high and inside to Murphy, and it's 2 balls and a strike. Billy Joe Cotton will attempt to make Kenny Hanson concentrate every moment he's on that mound. Here's the 2-ball, 1-strike pitch. A line shot into right center. Dick will not be able to get to it. It's going to go all the way to the wall. Bounces off the wall. Caves, Murphy gone for second. The throw will hold him there. A stand-up double. Bob Murphy picks up the first base hit given up by Kenny Hanson. And a good one it is. A stinging double to right center off the fence some 370 feet away. Dick made the good play, and the throw will hold him there. So there's one down. Murphy, the runner at second base, and Roger Adams, the second baseman, hitting 271 on the season, is the batter. Left-handed batting. Second baseman steps in. 2-for-11 in the series. Hanson looking down at Billy Joe for the sign. A stretch and a quick peek. Right-hander delivers. Called strike outside corner. 3-0 ball game. The Devils lead it, scoring 3 of them right in the top of the first inning. Tulsa batting in the bottom of the second with one down and a man at second base. Hanson stretching. Looks. Delivers. Let up curve is high. It's ball one. 1-1. Larry Gura is not warming up at the present time, but he is in the bullpen. And Bobby Winkle is making very sure that this youngster has all the support he needs, the team as well should Kenny get just a little bit wild. He's done fine. One ball, one strike pitch. A foul back to the screen to the left side out of play, and Hanson is ahead, a ball and two strikes. Well, for those of you who perhaps joined us late, Texas was eliminated in the afternoon game by the New York University Violets by the score of 3-2 on a disputed call in the ninth inning. They were ahead 3-2, but the leadoff man doubled, and after two outs, we'll tell you about a minute, there's a ball high and away, 2-2. What happened was that they left-handed batter for the Longhorns got a hit right down the right field line. The first baseman gloved it in foul territory, ran, hit the bag, and when he hit the bag, the runner kicked it, swung on and missed for strike three. Roger Adams is strikeout victim number one for Hanson, out number two for the Hurricanes, and Phil Honeycutt is the batter.
Phil Honeycutt.
Well, we have talked about the rest periods between games. Kenny Hanson has certainly had his. It's been almost a full month since he last pitched, May the 17th, so Kenny is not going to be tired. There's a pitch. Curveball outside corner, a pretty pitch. He did not flail it. He simply glided it in there. Honeycutt, the shortstop, is a 379 hitter, right-handed batter. Pitch, fastball is inside for a ball. It's even up 1-1. Two down. The runner at second for Tulsa is Bob Murphy, who doubled. And Honeycutt the batter with 1-1. It's been a great College World Series. Hanson stretches, and the look at Honeycutt delivers. Curveball is pretty across the plate. Call strike two. Murphy not getting off the second base too far. Hanson is fast, and Cotton's arm has already been proven as he's thrown out Les Rogers, who tried to steal second. Pitch inside, almost got him. It was so fast that Honeycutt almost didn't get out of the way of it. 2-2. Kenny with a good move out there. The curveball, the let-up curveball, and the fastball looked like the same. 2-2. Coming. Curveball just misses. He thought he had it. Count is full. 3-2. The first time that Kenny has been behind. Thank you again for the great telegrams. The kids really enjoy them. Gene Felker sent one. There's a pitch, a grounder to the right side. Osborne loses it. It goes into foul territory. He picks it up. Here's a fake throw to the plate as Murphy came around third base and did not, only came down a little bit as if to draw the throw. Osborne wisely held on to it. That kept Murphy at third base and Honeycutt at first. So it's an E3. And John Clark will come to the plate. So Tulsa has been on base. At third base, Bob Murphy. At first base, Phil Honeycutt. And the batter is the catcher, Johnny Clark. Right-handed batter, deep in the box. Close stance. Hanson hits him on the right shoulder as he tried to get out of that way. And that's the second hit batsman of the game, his 17th of the year. And Bobby Winkles is going to come out and talk to him. So the bases are crammed full, and the pitcher, Cliff Butcher, is up, a 200 hitter. But Bobby Winkles is having a good talk. Hanson is shaking his head up and down. Billy Joe Cotton is listening. Hanson says okay. Winkles drops off the mound, and Hanson and Cotton back to his position. Well, it's not an unusual situation for Kenny Hanson to find men on base. It is unusual for Kenny Hanson to find himself, however, in the College World Series with men on base. There are two down, however, and the batter is the pitcher. First pitch to him is a grounder to the left side. Setter has it. The throw to Randall for the force, and he's out of there. So Butcher, on the fielder's choice, forces Johnny Clark at second base, 6-4. The Devils are out of it. There are no runs on one hit. There was a double error and three men left. And the score at the end of two complete innings of play. Arizona State 3, Tulsa nothing. He may set his own record in that case. The Devils in the top of the third will send up John Dolinsek, P.R. Powell, and Billy Joe Cotton. They lead it 3-0. Dolinsek, an infield hit back in the first inning. Left-handed batting, left fielder. Les Rogers in on the grass at third base. The infield moved around a little to right as the shortstop, Phil Honeycutt, has moved towards second. Pitch to Dolinsek, check swing, misses outside of ball. Well, Hanson got out of it. He has This is, of course, his first College World Series start. He did pitch one inning of relief against Texas. John swings and misses on a fastball. The count is even, one apiece. Omaha, Nebraska, the 23rd annual College World Series. It's been a dandy. Today was more like Arizona, and maybe the Devils are responding to that. It was warm all day long. Here's the pitch to John. Fly ball popped to the right side. I don't believe there is no play. It is strike two. It was around 75 degrees at game time, with a humidity reading, however, somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 30%. But the sun was out for the bigger portion of the day, which looked like Arizona, and it was warm, and they are, for the first time in the series, playing at night. There's a grounder also to the right side, foul, out of play. The count remains the same, a ball and two strikes.